Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Back to the Book of Acts. In this 40th message, Pastor John begins by sharing some rare information from the early church about Christians who had been involved in the occult and what they did with their expensive occult objects. Using this as a springboard, Pastor John teaches on what Christians should do with objects that are cursed by God. He begins by defining what a cursed object is and vividly illustrates what happens when a person is in possession of such an object and won't give it up. He also addresses the defense by many Christians that anything goes since we are living under grace. But grace doesn't stop God from judging His people, and this should make you take a look at your life. Pastor John brings out that we need a Hezekiah-like revival, and ends his message with a teaching on how, according to the Apostle Paul, a Christian should live. This message is entitled Part 40, Cursed Objects. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, September 14, 2008. And my message today will be on cursed objects. And this is my 40th sermon on this subject, back to the book of Acts. So let's stand and let's pray and ask God to bless the message today. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise You for today. I thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing in our lives, that You answer prayers. And today, as we look upon cursed objects, what the Word of God says about it, help us to hear, help us to understand, help us to be obedient. And Father, that You can bless us, empower us, and make us stronger than ever. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. You may be seated. To those of you listening to me by audio, we just released our newsletter this last week, and those of you that are here today will get your newsletter when you leave the service. And I just want to mention something about this newsletter that we have produced. This is the first time that I have dealt with the subject of GMO, which is genetically modified organism or food. And I knew that this was bad, but I did not know how bad it was. Food is a weapon, and that weapon is being used. I talked to a doctor this week, and he was discussing with me about cancer and the cancer rate, diabetes, and so on. And he told me this. He said that the rates are going up, and they are, the age group is getting lower and lower. And then he brought out a very interesting item that I'd like to share with you, because we need to look upon this. The projection is now that in the time past, people got cancer. We're talking about generality. When they hit about 60, 65, let's say 25, 30 years ago, that age has been creeping down, and the generation that now is about, that are teenagers, those that are teenagers now, the prediction is that they will have their cancer when they are mid-30s. In their mid-30s, they will have the diabetes, the arthritis, the cancer. The disease is getting lower and lower. And the reason for that is the food, the preservatives, the vaccinations, all combined together and genetically modified food. So please read this newsletter, pray over this, pray over your food, share it with friends and people, because if no one speaks up, this will be going on a fast track to worse and worse. Let me get into my message right now. Cursed objects. And let's read from the book of Acts, chapter 19, and I'm going to read from verse number 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also with used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let me read now from my outline. There's very little teaching on cursed objects in Christian churches, so most people are totally ignorant in this area. In the previous sermon, we read about destroying cursed objects, but we did not look at it in detail. From these verses, which I just read, we learned the following. It was a demonic manifestation that brought fear to the Jews and Greeks who had already professed Jesus as the Messiah, but they had not disposed of the occult objects in their possession. Point number two. Curious arts means magic, or black art as practiced by people conjuring up demons and casting spells. This was common in the city of Ephesus. Number three, Luke points out the monetary value of these cursed objects. 50,000 pieces of silver would be probably like $10 to $20 million in our currency today. And that the Christians did not care about the great financial value, but destroyed them in the fire. Fourthly, the result was that the word of God prevailed against the darkness of witchcraft and demon worship. I want to share something from my personal life in this area. My father, when he was probably around 8 or 9 years old, and he was the younger, there were 9 siblings. The older children brought in a game called Moving the Glass, which is a type of divination. And they also had the 3-legged table where they were asking the voice, or actually the demonic force, about the future, and it would knock it once or twice, yes or no, and so on. As these objects were brought into the home of my father, this was a Christian home. My grandmother was a very devout Christian, and most of my aunts and uncles were saved. But when he brought it in, it brought a curse upon the Terrell family. And the curse of 9 children, 5 survived. The others died of different diseases. The 5 remaining siblings developed nervous disorders, eczema, different kind of diseases, particularly come to the digestion system, and also there was a strife in the family. So the five siblings would line up, sometimes three against two, sometimes four against one, but there was always strife in that family. I remember my grandmother. She was very kind to me, but I remember her as sick. And she got arthritis, and she got it so bad that I remember this, that when she lay down in a bed, her legs had simply pulled up like this, and she could not straighten them out. So they had purchased sandbags, and every morning I had to help her to take the cover off and lay sandbags on her knees, and then she would kind of moan and groan, and slowly the sandbags would press down the legs so that she was laying in a bed flat. She died a very painful death. I myself was born demon-possessed. When my brother and I grew up in a house, when we were alone, when my parents were gone someplace, it was very common in the house. We could hear doors open and close, people walking above us with no one there, knocking on doors and windows, and we simply had a haunted house. We had demonic forces. He and I did not know what it was, but we knew it was not good. So when we were alone, we were kind of nasty boys, but when we were alone at night, we would get a hymnal, and we would lay in bed, and we would sing these hymns, trying, you know, to get the evil out of the house. And as I look back now, I realized that I lived in a cursed home, and we were a cursed family with different diseases. A lot of people poo-poo this, but if you have an object that is cursed, that object will carry a demonic force. That demonic force will do all kind of things and do damage and destruction to the people of the house, to the finances, and everything else. So cursed objects is something that we really want to get rid of. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20. And the title here is, What is a cursed object? And let's define that. That's Exodus, the 20th chapter, and I pick it up for the first five verses. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods, small g, before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. These are the first commandment of what we know as the Ten Commandments. If you read this now, there is no negotiation here. God is not saying it will be very nice if you would not have any images. It would be very lovely if you do this or that. God is simply saying there shall be no images, no other gods. Notice 9 verse 5 what it says. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the, upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Notice here now, this is not talking about salvation. It's talking now about punishment, judgment. God is simply saying this, and we got to accept that. There's no negotiations here. God said, no images, period. If you break this first commandment, God says, I will not only punish you, but I will go down for four generations in your bloodline. And I can testify, too, that that was true in our family. We have suffered greatly over the years. We're still suffering. And I had to break the curses and get rid of diseases in my life. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. When God said here, you shall not make unto you any graven image or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water in the earth. What does that mean? It means we can have pictures of flowers, trees, we can have all kind of things, but we are not going to have any images of spirit beings. We are not going to have from the spirit world any images. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse number 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you should not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There should not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, that means a hypnotizer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. How exact are God's spiritual laws? This week, if you watch the newscasts, there was a terrific, or actually a terrible train accident in the Los Angeles area. 25 people now have been confirmed dead. Hundreds are severely injured. And there were two trains that collided. A freight train and a commuter train. As of now, the company that runs the commuter train came out and said, we have to take the blame because our engineer running that train was using his telephone and he was sending a text message to somebody and they have intercepted that. They know exactly the time when it came in and everything else, just a few seconds before the impact. And this engineer simply disregarded God's law that says that two physical objects cannot be in the same place at the same time. If you take two physical objects and you try to put them in the same location at the same time, it is called a collision. We have another law that simply says this, that if you have an object that is moving, there is energy in that moving object, And when an object comes to a certain halt, that energy has to go someplace, and that's why a collision is destructive. Now, this engineer died in the crash, so he paid with his life. But I want you to see now the carelessness. We don't know what he was thinking. He probably drove this stretch many times. There was a red light because he was on a sideline, and there were trains coming, and his light was red. He should have stopped. But he disregarded the law that says, you know, you can't use your cell phone while you drive a vehicle or a train, or if you're flying an airplane. You don't want to sit there and do text message, you know, and they crash. Secondly, he simply disregarded the law that two objects cannot be in the same place. Let me ask this question now, because this is important to get this into your heads now. There were 200 people plus on that train. I'm sure some of them were Christians. Some of them were not Christians. God knew that that train crash could happen. There were angels present. Did God intervene and said, I know that this guy is sinning, he's making a mistake right now, he's breaking the law, but I'm going to intervene and help him out and save those 200. Did God do that? No. God allowed the crash to happen. When God has set laws down, we don't follow them, there are consequences. I'm sure that God probably protected some of his Christian people on the train and protected some of them that survived. But what I want to get across to you now is this. When we break God's laws, there is a consequence. Someone has to pay a price. We can ask forgiveness. If you have a cursed object, and you are hanging on to that cursed object, you might try to justify it. You might say, well, I don't believe in that. I don't think this is so. But it doesn't matter. God's word has spoken, and it will cost you dearly. We need to understand that. In Deuteronomy 18, God did not say this. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, it would be nice, folks, if you would not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. But I understand, you know, that everybody's doing it, and, you know, it's the fad, it's a tradition of the land, you know, so try to do as little as you can. Is that what you read? What does God say? When you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son, his daughter, to pass through the fire, or that use divination, observer of times, or enchanter, or witch, or a charmer, or consult with familiar spirit, or wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God does drive them out from before you. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. God said in no certain uncertain terms, they were not to learn the habits of the heathens, but to create the images they were worshiping. Now turn to Joshua, chapter 6. The book of Joshua, the 6th chapter. A cursed object is anything that God has declared to be cursed. in Joshua 6:17. This is what God told him. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed, when you take an accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessel of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They should come into the treasury of the Lord. In verse 18, and you in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed, when you take any accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. What are the consequences of keeping a cursed object? Well, we find this in Joshua chapter 7. And let's just read this. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. There's many people in America today that have cursed objects. Matter of fact, there's not a nation on earth today that does not have cursed objects. And this is why God is judging the earth over and over again. We have a national curse. We have family curses. Personal curses. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, or Ie, or Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, let not all the people go up. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. This is not that a great victory over Jericho. So they went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. I don't know if you detailed right this, but fear came upon Israel. They realized we had a strange country, we got defeated, we all going to get killed, and 36 men had to die. Why? Because the nation was cursed. We have lost between 4,000 and 5,000 men in Iraq. We lost a number of people in Afghanistan. We are not blessed. Verse 6. And Joshua rent his cloth, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord unto the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore have you at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we be content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Here's a man of God now. He does not understand. He says, here we went over this side. If we could have kept what we had, you'd said go for more, and now we are defeated. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before the enemies? But the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth, and what will you do unto your great name? And the Lord said to Joshua, get you up, wherefore do you lie upon your face upon the ground? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of their cursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. The children of Israel could not stand because of the curse. The Terrell family has had a very tragic history. And of my dad's siblings, as they died, they didn't die very well. It was horrible death and diseases. We always had poverty in our family. There was always difficulties. And we were hardworking people. We tried to do a lot of different things. But we have been cursed as a family. Those of us that turned to Christ have come out of those. But those who did not are still struggling. What is the answer? In verse number 13, God said this, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, for thus is the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Here's what the Holy Spirit is telling me about now as I preach to you. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is a small church as far as people goes here in this area. God has given us a great ministry. To be able to move into that ministry, we need to sanctify ourselves. We have the power. God showed us the power over the price of oil. He showed us the price, the power that we had in many other areas. We have a tremendous potential of prayer power. We can actually change the election. This group here and the people that are with us around the world, we have a website and audio, we can actually change the election in America this fall with no money but through prayer. We can do that. But as long as we have cursed objects and we are doing cursed things, we are not in full power. And the question is, do we want to sanctify ourselves? Let's say 75 years from now, all of us will be on the other side of eternity. And let's say that we're going to meet, have a little reunion, Resurrection Life of Jesus reunion. Have your meeting in some kind of a nice heavenly restaurant up there in heaven. And we're sitting down and talking. We're eating food that does not make us fat. No high cholesterol. We can eat what we want and so on. And the people that were with us in different countries are there. And we all meet together. And then Jesus comes into the room. And he says, well, I'm happy to see a little reunion. I'm glad, you know, that you were a part of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, one of my churches on the earth. And then he would say this, Do you remember the fall of 2008? And we said, oh, yeah, that was a big Hurricane Ike, and we had all the hurricanes, and we this and that and so on. And then he would say this to us, I had plans to use you to pray specifically for the United States of America. But I couldn't get you to sanctify yourself. You were stuck in some of your peculiarities. You had some of these cursed objects, and I couldn't pry them out of your hand, and therefore, I could not use you. And the election went for the devil. This time we would just sit there and we would see countless of people that could have been saved that was lost. We would see all kind of difficulties. What would we say to one another? We would look at one another and say, oh God, how come I was so dense? I couldn't see it. All I could see was my circumstances, my pain, my loneliness, my own little world, my selfishness. All I lived for or did was just tied up in this. I couldn't break out of the box. Praise God. We are here. The election is not taking place yet. And we have time to sanctify ourselves. Verse 14. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. It shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the family thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has brought folly in Israel. I want you to underline verse 15. This is what God said. And it shall be that he that is taken with a cursed thing, God didn't say now he's going to be lost, he's going to lose his salvation. But he said, he shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he has. God simply says, I will not tolerate a cursed object. And anyone that is disobedient, I will take them out of circulation. We need to understand that, yes, God is love. He loves us. But he's also a God of judgment, and there comes a time when God says, if you will not line up, I have to remove you. If you understand that, we will walk more in fear, and I'm talking about fear here in prayer and worship. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family, the Zarahites. And he brought the family of Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray you, glory to the Lord of God of Israel. And make confession unto him, and tell me now what you have done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a vetch of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and his silver under it. And he took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and his silver and the garment and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, his asses, and his sheep in the tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierce of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now the Christians will say, but aren't we living under grace? Let me take you now to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Have you ever thought about how many Americans have died in 2008 because of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes? Quite a few. Let me read to you from my outline. Ananias and Sapphira became cursed and were killed when they conspired to lie and keep back part of the money for the sale of the property. Notice now, they were born again, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit along with the rest of the people of the church in Jerusalem, but grace did not save them from losing their physical lives on earth. Let me read it again. They were born again, had been baptized in the Spirit, spoke in tongues, along with the rest of the people in the church of Jerusalem. But grace did not save the lives of Ananias and Sapphira. Here's what we read. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained was not your own, and that your soul was not in your own power. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, bound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It's about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, I want you to think about this. Peter could have come up and said, now, we got the wife coming in. We don't want her to die. Let's just tell her, you know, that, hey, your husband died, he lied, and this is what he died from. But notice now, when someone has conceived evil, God will not stop it. Here comes now his wife Sapphira. Peter walked up, straight face, and asked her this. Tell me, what do you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet that I'm with have buried your husband are at the door, and shall carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard the offense. We need to take God's word more serious. Sickness, accidents, financial difficulties, job situations. There's a lot of negative things around us. And you got to remember that some of these negative things are there because we haven't cleaned everything up that we need to clean up. And when we are reminded of it, we get upset because he says, oh, I don't believe in that. Let me take it out to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Now remember, from my grandmother's home, there was a little kind of a plaque. It was like a black glass diamond shaped candle holder, beautiful, with a candle holder on it, brass. And I remember I was sitting next to the piano in my grandma's house, and then it ended up in my parents' house. And then when Mom and Dad passed on, I said, well, I'll take that. And I brought it in the house, and I put it up. And it looked very pretty. And then my wife came to me a few days later and said, you know, you got to take that thing down. I said, hold it. That's from Grandma's. My dad, Mom had that. She said, have you looked upon that? I said, no, not really. She said, come on up and let's take a look. And on that thing, graven in were faces of demons. Gargons, I don't know how to pronounce that word right. Little figurines. And snarling, demonic faces. And I said, I did not see that. Now, here's a precious object. Probably worth quite a bit, you know, for on the antique market. So I simply said in the name of Jesus, I don't want to be cursed. Out it went. I hammered it, destroyed it, put it in the trash can, got rid of it. We cannot be sentimental when it comes to cursed objects if you want to be blessed by God. 2 Kings chapter 18, and we pick it up in verse number 1. I remember my wife, her mother, my in-law, mother-in-law, she made beautiful tablecloth, things to hang on the wall. And she had those precious things, but they were Christmas. And I thought, you know, well, those are nice looking things. My wife said they are going to go. And she destroyed them. I can look back now, but I want to tell you something. It took me a long time to die because I hung on to the things, because the demons hung on to me. We need a Hezekiah revival. Let's read verses 1 through 8. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images, cut down the groves, break in peace the brazen serpent that most of them made. For to those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Look in verse 4 now. If you talk about the relic, he was a brazen serpent, a remnant from the time in the desert. The serpent that Moses had made of copper that was placed on a pole. And when people looked upon that, they were healed from the diseases. That had now been in the possession of Israel for probably close to 500 years. 500 years. Sacred. And what happened now was that the people of Israel, instead of worshiping God, they simply worshiped this object. And they worshiped that. That was a precious thing. And Hezekiah, he simply destroyed it. He trusted the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered with his servant he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not, but kept his commandments, which the Lord God commanded Moses. I want to ask you a question today. What kind of cursed objects do you still have in your possession? I'm sure that many of you still have cursed objects in your house. They're precious to you. You are hiding them. You are clinging to them. But I want to tell you something. As long as you have these cursed objects, God cannot bless you 100%. There's going to be a price you are going to pay. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you an anointing. Let me read from my outline. In reading the Old Testament, we can repeatedly see that the people of Israel couldn't resist dabbling in the cult, observing pagan religions, collecting cursed objects. As a result, there was a curse upon a nation, and each individual as they were afflicted with poverty, war, and disease. King Hezekiah decided to follow the Lord, so he cleaned up the land and destroyed the idols. As a result, God blessed him and the people. Some 15 years ago, I received a gift, and I'm not going to describe what the gift was, but it was a gift from some people that had come out of the former Soviet Union that we'd helped. And they gave it to me out of love, and when I looked upon it, I had it in my office sitting on a bookshelf, and I thought about these people from time to time. And some of them come in my office from time to time and says, "But when are you going to get rid of that cursed thing? Look at that cursing right over there." And, you know, for a while, you know, I says, "Oh, that's not cursed. That's just a little thing. You know, that's not cursed." So one day, after probably about maybe 15, 20 of these occasions, I realized I had a cursed object. It was an obstacle for somebody. And I simply made him up in my mind, that thing is going to go. I took up the item, got a hammer, walked over to a person. I said, "I want you to see this." Wham! and I smashed it in hundreds of pieces. I said, now that would take care of that cursed object. Sometimes you got to have some holy anger and recognize that objects that are cursed are holding you and they are destructive to you. King Hezekiah decided to follow the Lord. So he cleaned up the land and destroyed the idols. Can you imagine today if Hezekiah had not destroyed that brazen serpent and that brazen serpent had survived? Can you imagine what the Jews would have done with that brazen serpent in Jerusalem today? You know, they are standing in the wailing wall, you know, and having that as a holy place. That thing would have been so holy, it would have been dripping over it. And they would have all walked just to walk under it and kiss it and look upon it. And God said, it has to go. Let's quickly go show, look upon us what kind of objects are cursed now. We read through this. Objects used in false religions like books, Bibles, literature, pictures of statues of Mary, Roman Catholic saints, crucifixes, rosary beads, elements used in the Eucharist or Mass, holy water, audio and video recordings that promote false religions. Statues or paintings of beings for the spiritual world which are used for decoration and worship. This applies to all statues and pictures of different demon gods, including Buddha, demon deities from all types of pagan religions, trolls, elves, Santa Claus, statues of Mary, all of the Catholic saints, Russian Orthodox icons, dwarves, leprechauns, mermaids, voodoo dolls, etc. Any object or material used in occult practice, including the Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons material, tarot cards. Any device used for gambling like playing cards, dice, lottery tickets, pool table, etc. All types of drugs used for recreation. That includes alcohol and all of the type of drugs that is used for recreation. All pornographic material like pictures, videos, magazines, nude paintings, etc. All items used on Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, and other pagan holidays. How many of you still got some Christmas cards left? Valentine's card left. The television is a cursed object where it plays ungodly programs featuring murder, fornication, adultery, divorce, violence, promiscuity, homosexuality, etc. Let me dwell on that last point. A television set in itself is no evil or no good. It's just an object. But the moment you have a program on that is having ungodly activity on it, that thing is a cursed object. And it will bring a curse upon you, and it will hinder you from cutting loose and being set free and able to move in the Holy Ghost. How should a Christian live? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that we've just been studying. Here's in Ephesus in the book of Acts. As we look upon this, we have Ephesians chapter 4. If you pick it up in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's no way you can be renewed when you watch a movie or television program is ungodly. And that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, Speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but run on in labor, work with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that he may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit at times? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, husbands, wives, children. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be you therefore father of God's dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for his sweet-smelling savor. With fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sunk in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake you that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what evil of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. These scriptures really should be put on cards and be put up like pictures in our homes. Will be just what? If we live a Christian life like this, we would have such power in prayer that whatever we would speak would happen instantly. But we don't have that power. We want to have that power, but we don't want to pay the price. Look at the statement I've been having now the last few weeks. It's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish your life. It is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. And I want you just to think with me a few moments here right now. if this will be the last day for you on this earth, for some reason, God will call you home this afternoon. This is your last service. Are you satisfied with your life? Would you be satisfied and say, oh, praise God, I'm going home to be with Jesus. I'm ready. Or would you say this? I got some unfinished work to do. I got some things I need to take care of. And I did not have the time. You're still alive right now. How do you want to finish your life? Do you want to finish it in such a way that when the calls come and suddenly, boom, here are angels and you just watch your body fall to the ground and, well, it's over. Would you be able to say, shout, praise the Lord, I finished. I don't have to be ashamed. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Or would you have to say, well, I got these cursed objects I never dealt with. I got these issues. I never forgave those people over here. I never took care of that. I dragged my feet. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day that we can repent. Do you have an ear to hear with? I want to finish by reading this. We need the Hezekiah revival. In reading the Old Testament, we can repeatedly see that the people of Israel couldn't resist dabbling in the occult, observing pagan religions and collecting cursed objects. If God would have been talking to Hezekiah, if he lived now, he would have said this. They couldn't resist dabbling in the occult, observing pagan religions, collecting cursed objects, and hanging on to the television sets. As a result of the curse upon a nation and each individual, they were afflicted with poverty, war, and disease. King Hezekiah decided to follow the Lord, so he cleaned up the land, destroyed the idols. As a result, God blessed him and the people. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, this was a hard sermon today. This is not an easy one, a kind one. This is one, Father God, we have to make decisions. Are we going to hang on to our cursed objects, bad habits, evil speaking, or are we going to give that up? Father God, I have the best congregation in this town. But Lord, we still have kings that need to be straightened out. And I pray right now that you will move upon every person here today in this room. That you will move upon every person hearing my voice in coming days via audio. That not no one affiliated with Resurrection Life of Jesus Church or European American Advanced Crusades will be defiled, but that we as a people, thousands of us around the world, will be found like Hezekiah, cleaned up, sanctified, ready to go, and with power to spare. Oh God, grant my prayer. I ask it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. You might not come for this. You might need to be prayed for sickness. You might have some other things. But whatever God's been speaking to today, you come. The elders are here. They will anoint you with oil. And they will pray for you. If you want to pray and just talk to God, to my right, your left, we got places over here, a couch and chairs. You can kneel and pray. No one can talk to you. And you're listening by audio. You can come. By simply saying, Jesus, I want to repent. I want to seek your face. It's up to you to respond.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 40th part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled Cursed Objects. Pastor John began sharing some rare information from the early church about Christians who had been involved in the occult and what they did with their expensive occult objects. He began by defining what a cursed object is and vividly illustrated what happens when a person is in possession of such an object and won't give it up. He also addressed a defense by many Christians that anything goes since we are living under grace. But grace doesn't stop God from judging His people, and that should make you take a look at your life. Pastor John brought out that we need a Hezekiah-like revival, and ended with a teaching on how Christians should live. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1151. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.